Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with Sister Amen. Are you ready to go, Sister Amen?
I am. Are you?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. We hope you all had a really good day. We traveled and went through some beautiful Georgia farm country and headed further south, working our way down the gospel road. Today we stopped at a store, a Kroger store, and Sister Amen went in. I walked her up there. Guess who was standing outside, Sister Amen?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, Salvation Army bell ringer. And I walked up to him. He was talking with his wife. And it turns out he's a police lieutenant. The radio, the badge, all that stuff. I got an audio of it. We'll put it up on one of our witnessing posts. But I informed him how the Salvation Army doesn't preach a biblical gospel and how they support the LGBT movement. And his wife said, I didn't know that, while she's standing near the kettle. And I said, oh, yeah. And then I went on to tell him how Booth started it and would have been more biblical back then, but now the Salvation Army is just a train wreck. And the police chief said, or the police lieutenant said to me, well, there's so many things that go on in this world, it's hard to keep up with the truth. And I said, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. I said, we have the Bible, that's our truth. And he's like, well, yeah. And I started thinking to myself, Sister Amen, he's a police lieutenant in their town. They have hundreds of laws they have to follow. You think he keeps up on all the laws?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
That's his pension. That's his salary. That's his job. But, you know, the things of God, I just can't keep up on this stuff. So I basically lovingly rebuked him and said, you're supporting a heretical group. You need to test it out or you're going to lose your soul. He's like, thank you very much. I gave him a gospel card. I said, the police, the people are always calling the police on me as a street preacher. And I said, when you police officers show up, do you know what you always expect me to do? He looks at me. I said, obey the law. I said, and I do. I said, what's going to happen to you on Judgment Day when you're not obeying God's word because of what his son has done in the new covenant? And he's like, thank you for that information.
Yeah, turn the tables on him. Yeah, maybe get some thinking.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty interesting. Yeah, it was really good. So that was a good witnessing that I had right in front of that store.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, a lot of those bell ringers, they don't have a clue.
Right.
They're just doing something good. I used to be that person years ago before I was in Christ. I didn't know. I thought I was doing something
good. Doing a good deed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The joy of the season, this false Christmas season.
Yeah, it's very deceptive. And those people are just making money for, I know they do some good deeds, but they're also propping up that false gospel, which.
Yeah. I had a good testing of the Salvation Army. I lost it when they took down my teaching blog. I have a preach where we stood outside a Salvation Army depot. I'm going to do a quick blurb on the Salvation Army. False gospel, worldliness, ecumenicalism, tied to the NFL, supporting LGBT. And I'm going to do a quick post on Salvation Army just so people, when they search it, can see that Salvation Army is a corrupt organization.
It is. And when we were standing outside that Salvation Army and we did that preach you're talking about,
it flashed in my mind.
I got to talk to an old lady, super old lady, who came to get some food because they were giving it away, and I was able to help her walk across the parking lot, and I was witnessed to her when she came over, witnessed to her and helped her walk back to her car and get her all settled in there.
Amen.
That was heartwarming.
Got to witness to a bunch of homeless people there that they were feeding, but a homeless man there told me, he said, they don't care about us.
Uh-uh.
And I said, why do you say that? He goes, they hand us a bag of food and tell us to keep moving. He goes, they don't tell us nothing about God and to care for our souls or anything. And I was like, okay, thank you for sharing that with me. So, but anyway,
got
to get that up. Yep,
got
to get that up about the Salvation Army. And then we arrived in the town we were going to be at, and guess what we did?
One of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, why is it your favorite thing to do? Fly gospel signs on a busy street.
Well, because everybody driving by has the opportunity to see it.
Maybe, thousands of cars.
Yeah, they could stop and come around or send us an email if they see the website. But I don't know, it's just peaceful and just quiet. And
I like it because
it's not quiet, but it's quiet in your mind when you can think.
I like it because I get to think a lot. Sometimes I make audios or videos out there, and it's not real confrontational until people walk up. We did have some people walk up and say, they got it today. And we're like, if you got it, why don't you tell us about it? Nah, they just walk away. But yeah, flying gospel signs is really peaceful. So we got to do that, and we got a couple videos, or one video, and we got a couple little audios. We'll be posting that probably tomorrow.
Yeah. I was just going to say something. You know, you might drive through a town, whether it's a large, medium, or small. Usually, like medium or small, you can drive through and go, huh, well, there's some traffic here, but nobody's walking around.
Right.
And then once you get out on the street,
there are people that walk by.
People end up coming by. Right. You're like, hey, it could be like a nice assortment of them. All it takes is one that might want the truth.
Exactly. So, yeah, so that's good. So we'll get that post up. That was awesome. And then we went to a marketplace, and it's a super chilly night tonight, and we just kind of hung out, worked online before we went and parked at the end of the day. Anything else, Sister Amon, you have thoughts about today?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to go back to the flying signs. Remember that man that walked by and he stopped and he talked to you? What did he say? He said he goes nowhere when he dies or something.
Yeah,
like
he said, I won't go anywhere when I die. And I said, oh, you will. I said, or Jesus is a liar. And I warned him about the weeping and gnashing of teeth and the eternal torment that will last. And he kind of looked puzzled. He didn't look happy.
Yeah, because he walked away from Brother Tupos, and I could see his face, but Brother Tupos couldn't, and I don't remember what you said, but it stopped him in his tracks.
Yeah, he was a rather large man, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he looked pretty mean. But I told him the truth in love, and he stopped, turned around, he said, I'm going to be fine. And I said, no, you're not, sir. I said, I love you, you're my neighbor, you're not going to be fine outside of Christ. And he didn't have any words to say, but he was, like, mad, and he turned around and
walked off. The look on his face when he stopped, when you said something about you're not going to be fine, or something like, he stopped, and I looked at his face, and I thought, oh, this is not good. I turned away.
Yeah, see, this is what we do. It's loving to tell people the truth. It's not loving if I just let him go on his way and let him think he's going to be fine. I got to tell him about the path to destruction and the narrow path to eternal life. That's what's loving.
Yeah, and we pass through some of these areas that aren't, sometimes
this town has a lot of crime, a lot of gangs.
I was just gonna
last time we were here, there were shootings and stuff here.
Yeah,
so yeah, but whatever, our God's bigger and all that.
Yep, that's what I said. Our God's bigger than any gang.
Yeah.
So praise God for that.
So we'll have that post up, and we had a nice peaceful time at the marketplace getting some things done online. Tomorrow we're going to be held up in this town for another whole day. We hadn't planned on it, but that's okay. We got to be flexible. I think tomorrow we'll have some more, maybe some more sign flying, maybe some more online time. We'll see what the Lord has for us tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's our theme today? I got our theme today. Ready?
Okay.
Looking back. Yeah, let me explain while you look up your scripture verses. So we like to do a theme on these audios, whether it be one word that we look up in scripture or a theme we look up in scripture. I've been having this man emailing me, older man like me, and he says he wants to follow the truth, says he wants to follow Christ, says he wants to seek the kingdom of God. But rather than going deep in the scriptures and study, he's looking back, he's holding on to worldly family, he keeps talking about his old life, he keeps looking back at churchianity. And it's freezing him, keeping him from moving on and going forward in Christ. So I thought it might be good for us to talk about, what does the Bible say about looking back? You got a scripture verse, Sister Amon? You got a couple?
I've got several, but here's like the biggest and the main one that always comes to mind.
Yep.
Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, amen. So that's a good one. We don't want to be looking backwards. I did a teaching, you can look it up at the teaching area, don'tperish.com. I did a teaching not long ago called Looking Back to Learn, Not Lament. So we can look back to learn and rejoice in where we've come and what we've learned, but we don't want to look back and lament like Lot's wife. Sister Amon's got a verse on Lot's wife coming up. We don't want to look back and lament for what we used to have. We want to look back, learn, rejoice, but we want to be looking forward. Colossians 3:2-4. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That would be things that like are in the past. Mm-hmm. For ye are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that's looking forward, future, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You got another scripture verse, Sister Amon?
Yeah, I do. Hold on 1 second, because I wanted to add just a little bit more, so I was looking at it. I want to put, give me.
You do that. I'll read another one.
Yeah.
Philippians 3:13, brethren, Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth for those things which are before me. Forward, headed forward, Brother Paul says, that's where we got to go.
That's one of my favorites. I love it. Yeah. I'm going to read two of them here. First, I'm going to read Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife.
Yep.
Now let's go back and remember it. Genesis 19:24-26. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt.
Yeah. She definitely didn't look back to say, oh, Lord, thank you for saving me. She must have looked back lamenting, going, oh, I still want to be in Sodom.
Yep.
And she was ungrateful for what God was doing. Because if they would have stayed in Sodom, you know, by the way, I was talking to a young man the other day that we met, 18-year-old man, and we preached the gospel to him for 2 hours on the phone last night. He's deciding whether he wants to seek the kingdom of God. He says he does, so it's pretty awesome. But I said to him, Lot was a righteous man, according to Peter. And I said, you want to see faith and works in action? I said, what would happen if Lot didn't obey the angels when they said, God's going to destroy the city, get out? What if Lot would have stayed? He said, Lot would have perished in the fire.
Oh, yeah.
So there's faith and works. Lot believed God. Lot acted and got out. His daughters acted and got out. His wife didn't. She looked back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's one, definitely. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2, 3 and 4. Among whom also we all had our conversation in past times in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. So it's talking about looking back when you were, Paul says in another area of Corinthians, no adulterers, whoremongers, murderers will inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, such were some of you. Looking back, such were. We don't want to be looking back. We want to look forward to what Christ has done in our salvation.
Amen.
Yeah.
And going right off of that, what you were, how about this? 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is what you are if you're in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yeah, new, looking forward, not going looking back, not looking backwards. I think Satan is a master of messing your mind up and your life up with the past, your past failures, your past things you desired, and not getting you moving forward, keeping you idle, keeping you captive. When the Spirit wants to set us free, Christ wants to set us free.
Guilt is one of the things.
Yeah, guilt. Yeah, guilt.
Yeah, it's like unforgiveness of yourself. Yep. If God has forgiven you, that's
I think another big thing is double-mindedness too.
Oh, yeah.
James says don't be double-minded because people say they want God, but they hold on to the past. They say they want to move forward, but they hold on to the past.
Oh, yeah.
That's totally double-minded. Oh, yeah.
Not going to get very far.
James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. So I was thinking of enduring, meaning going forward. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So we endure, we see the Lord. If we endure, we're going to see his return. We're looking forward, we're not looking backwards.
Right, amen. Yeah.
Any more, Sister Roman?
Yeah, I had just a thought, and then I had one more to go kind of with it. Is I was thinking while we're talking about this, women who are married to unbelieving husbands.
That's a tough thing.
It is. You know, they're a new creature. They're a creation. They're moving forward, and they want so bad for their husband, whether he's claiming to be of Christ and just living in sin. Or
oh, they want him to move forward with them, you mean? That what you mean?
Yeah, I don't know what I...
No, I'm just trying to get it clear. Women that are Christians want their husbands to come along with them, you're saying?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. They want him to come along with, and I was just kind of saying, you know, whether he's just a total unregenerated man or even if he's claiming Christ and he's living in sin, they can stumble a woman who's new in Christ and pushing forward. She could stop and keep looking back because she's going forward in Christ.
Yep.
He's not.
Yep.
So he's behind her, and that could be double-mindedness. Not that she's going to, like, walk away from him.
Right.
What I mean is, like, spiritually, mentally, in your heart, you got to set your heart and your mind on things on Christ and keep going toward him regardless of whether your husband does or not.
Amen.
And so I just want to encourage women with that. You don't
That's looking forward, not looking back, or even looking at the present, looking forward.
Oh, yeah, because we've seen women who are stumbled by that.
Yeah.
They waver and they waffle and they go forward, then they go back. They go forward, they go back.
Yep.
And you're not going forward then.
No. Amen.
Yeah. Proverbs 4:25-27. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
Certainly not turn around backwards either.
Well, yeah, because if you turn right or you turn left, you're already turning away from the front.
Yeah. And I was thinking about, we were talking about again with that young man going over the gospel, repentance, metanoia in the Greek. It means to change your mind, change your way. So we always tell people, turn 180. So you're going in the wrong direction from God in sin. You turn 180 degrees towards God. Guess what? If you keep turning or you look back, now you're looking back again. So repentance also keeps you moving forward. And if you fail in your repentance, you'll end up looking backwards, and that's not a good thing.
No.
So yeah, that was kind of our theme today, encouraging people to look forward. The Bible is a progressive revelation. We want to be looking forward. By the way, that's another bad thing about Christmas. You realize that? It's looking backwards at an event that was supposed to be a one-time event, and it's not looking forward, proclaiming Christ's death till he comes. We're looking for our redemption. We're not going backwards to when he first stepped into the world as a little tiny baby. He's coming back as the fiery lion of Judah with judgment.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what makes Christmas bad. It's a man-made tradition of looking backwards when God says, look for his second coming.
Yeah, not only just looking backwards, it's a lie.
And it's also a lie.
But yeah, I know what
it's
you're
a lie. It's not invented by God. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't be looking back. Look forward. Christ is worthy in all of that. So yeah, we arrived in a new town today. As I said, we got to hold up an extra day. We'll be working here. That's one thing about van life. You got to be flexible. So we like that.
And speaking of van life, well, you're saying being flexible and stuff. Sister and I were talking about, I said how van life has no mercy when you're sick.
Yeah.
And I said, you got to keep moving. Like, of course, we know you got to keep moving unless you go find a campground, which you can't always find where you're at.
Yeah.
And we both know what it's like to have to keep moving and moving when you're not feeling good.
Oh, yeah.
Or like when you're really sick. But you know what? It helps you kill your flesh, and it makes you really feel like an alien even more so in this world, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's nowhere to go. And I was thinking, this has always helped me, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen, yeah.
We've learned a lot of strength in this life, haven't we? Of constantly going.
Yeah, you have to rely on the Lord. There's nothing else to rely on, and it's not easy to just sit back and kick back. So if you're going to keep going in it, in ministry and in van life, keep moving. You just got to press through, and you got to trust in the Lord to give you what you need.
Yeah, he does, and we learn a lot.
Through all
the things that we go through.
Yeah, well, one thing, the Lord said go, so van life keeps you on the go.
It does.
That's
definitely.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm working on a teaching. Oh, Sister Amon, this one's going to cause a ton of enemies.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I'm working on a teaching about biblical parenting. You know, we have this young couple with us, and they have two small children, and they're doing an awesome job with their children. But it was put on my heart to do a teaching on to help all parents and all people that have kids or want to have kids or whatever, because I have a varied experience. So does Sister Amon. I had children as an unbeliever, and then I had grandchildren as an unbeliever. Now I've got grandchildren as a believer, so I'm a grandpa. I don't get to see them very often, but I got a pretty good experience of children. So does Sister Amon.
Oh, yeah.
And so I want to do a teaching and really expose the big issue with parents and children. And I guess in short, I'm just going to say parents are way too fleshly with their children. They're way too easy on their children. They're way too child-centered and not enough God-centered. And I'll cover all of that in this teaching. And I'll show you what the Bible shows us versus what parents seem to focus on with children. And so we're going to talk about that. And it's probably going to be pretty harsh for a lot of people because they look at children. I mean, children in a lot of ways are like idols. They get tons of attention and focus. And that's just not what we see in Scripture. Children are to be subject to their parents and obey their parents and are to be trained up to be young adults and they're to be trained up to fear God. And if they're going to fear God, they need to fear their parents. I'm kind of going into the teaching, but we'll get there. And so, yeah, a lot of people aren't going to like this, but it's true. I would challenge any man to refute me in the Scriptures. You're not going to find a bunch of spoiled children, a bunch of pampering, a bunch of fleshliness in the Bible. You find things like teach them to observe. Children obey your parents, beat them with a rod because we want to break their will. That's what it says in the scriptures.
It does, you know, and you and I being older, when we were growing up, I don't know about anybody else, but there was a lot of beating going on if you didn't obey.
Right.
If you didn't respect the elders.
Yeah,
and
we're not talking about child abuse. We're talking about doled out punishment that causes pain, that breaks the will of children that need their will broken.
Like the Bible says.
Like the Bible says.
And the neighbors used to take care of anybody that they saw.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah.
So that teaching is going to be coming up, and that'll be pretty controversial, I'm sure.
It will, and I will be inputting.
Yeah.
From a woman's point of view.
Yes, yes. Sister Amon, I'm going to do the teaching, and then Sister Amon and I are going to have a discussion afterwards from a woman and a mother standpoint, so that everybody doesn't think, oh, just a mean street preacher. My wife happens to see it, and other people see it too. Children in America really become like idols, and they really are just the Lord's. They're not even yours. And the Lord says, raise them up for me. Teach them to fear me. Teach them all my ways. Put them in order. Don't let them have occasion of their flesh and grow them up to follow me. That's your charge. Right. Not to have fun with them, not to be their buddy, not to be their pal, not to have a bunch of fleshly fun with them. Yeah. It's a lot different than what the culture says.
Right.
But so we're going to talk about that when we get to the teaching.
That'll be an interesting one because people have to go really deep.
Yep.
They'll have to dig deep inside and eliminate any false teaching that had been, or what do you want to call that, how you've been raised.
All the false mindsets, all the platitudes, you know, kind of like, children are children, let them play and let them run and let them do this. Those are false platitudes. We don't see that anywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in everybody's life in many different areas.
Yeah, and the theme of this whole thing is, every believer is supposed to root out all the flesh from their life. That includes children. Children don't get allowed to have flesh. And here's what the teaching is going to cover. People aren't going to like this. When you got a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and he throws a fit, he's sinning. Now, I get it. He doesn't even know it's sin yet. And he's before the age of accountability, but he's still sinning. When he slaps mom or he throws toys down in anger, fortunately, the little kids we're with don't do that.
No.
But we've seen children that do it.
We're out in the world. Well, we see it all the time.
Real quick, we were at a marketplace yesterday, and they had some little party or something from some little kid, for some little kid, maybe 4 years old, and he got all an attitude. He was beating up his dad, punching his dad with his fist. And the father reached out, and not with discipline. The father reached out like retaliatory and smacked him on the arm and laughed. And the little kid started crying. And I looked at Sister Amon and I said, look at that, the little sinning hypocrite. He can beat on people, but when he gets hit, he cries.
Yeah, and then he got comforted.
Yeah, then he got comforted and they loved on him. So I want to stand on that. They are sinning. They may not know it exactly yet, but their flesh is leading them into sin, and we need to train up children and break them from that. And if it takes the rod to do it, that's what dad has to do, and mom has to back that up. So we're gonna talk about all that because I think it's a good timing. We've been talking about this for a long time, and this would be a good timing. As Brother Zelos is doing articles on children, homeschooling, this will be a good time for some older grandparents to speak into child rearing and go to the scriptures and then say, hey, this is what works, this is what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're excited about doing that, so that'll be coming up.
Amen.
Anything else, Sister Amon?
I have a scripture verse.
Go for
passage.
It.
John 14:5-7. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him.
And that's what I tell people all the time when they say, no, I'm fine. I don't need Jesus. I don't need this. I say, well, he must be a liar then because he said he is the way.
Yep.
There's no other way but through him. So good scripture verse, Sister Amon. Tomorrow, like I said, we're going to be held up in this town. We'll see what happens. I know one thing for sure. You know what we're going to do tomorrow, Sister Amon?
Well, we're going to wake up first if the Lord allows it.
If the Lord allows that. But if we wake up, guess what we're going to do tomorrow?
Well,
we're
going to
serve the Lord.
Him.
We're going to serve the Lord.
Going there. We're going to serve him.
We're going to serve the Lord. We know that we're going to be doing that. I do have a scripture verse here, a good chunk. I want to read this. Philippians 3:14-21 to close us out. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice he pressed towards. That's forward, not looking back.
Mm-hmm.
Let us therefore as many be perfect. That word means complete and mature. be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Mm-hmm. So if you got things in you where they aren't complete and mature, God will reveal it to you. You better repent of it. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Paul's saying the older people, if they've got it right, keep walking, following according to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Brethren, be followers together of me. That should say imitators of me. We don't follow Paul, we follow Christ, but we imitate him. And mark them which walk so as ye have heard as an example. For many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Sounds like modern churchianity, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly. That means they are full of lust, and they'll do things that pleases them, whether it be music, sports, entertainment, carnality, pride, vanity, mm-hmm. whose glory is in their shame. Boy, we see that all the time. Brother just did an article on youth ministries, and they the more shameful they are, it seems like the more they glory in it.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. Who mind earthly things. They love the things of the world. In John, it says, whoever loves the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. It means to be fond of. Mm-hmm. You're fond of the things of the world. Yep. For our conversation is in heaven. That means citizenship. From whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Get this, Sister Amen. Mm-hmm. That it'll be fashioned like and unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I love that. Yeah. So we're to be pressing forward. We're not to be walking in the lust of the past, and we're not to be modeling the world, and we're not to be have our belly as our God, and we're not to have all these vain things, but we're to be citizens of heaven living on earth. We're ambassadors here. We're messengers from God, and we're waiting for him to bring our eternal city to us.
I love that.
Yeah, great, it's going to be an awesome day.
Awesome hope.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to leave right there. My encouragement to everybody listening in, press into the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You do that by repenting and obeying the gospel. I put those two words together, repenting and obeying the gospel.
Well, you need both of them.
You do.
Can't just have one or the other. You got to have both.
Pressing into the kingdom. Notice that's a faith and a works action word.
It is.
You don't just sit looking. You press in. You strive to enter on the narrow way, Jesus said in Luke 13. Uh-huh. That means to fight. I hope you're fighting and pressing in. We're here to help you. Check out don'tperish.com. Lots more to come. We put up some more things in the Ecclesia gathering area, some studies and teachings from some brothers. I've got some new stuff going up in there soon as well. So check it out. Be edified. And seek after the kingdom. Press into it.
Amen.
We love you all.
May God be praised.